Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's Breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
It's Tell the Truth Monday on The Hoffman Show.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
Call us now at 301-230-0980 to tell the truth about the Commanders.
You can't handle the truth!
Or hit the comment section at the Team 980 on YouTube.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We are streaming live on YouTube at the Team 980. I'll check the chat in a minute if you want to leave your Tell the Truth Monday comments there. But right now, we're going to start off on the phones at 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980. Let's start off with Tim in D.C. Tim, thanks for calling. You are on the Hoffman Show.
What's up, Craig? Long-time listener, man. I appreciate your view and your perspective, but let me get to it.
Appreciate
that. After this game, I feel like, man, everybody feels like we got a shot. Like how you just said, because if we on the team, it's not just because of five, man. I love the fact that after this win, it always feels like we got something to coach with. We got something to go back to practice with. I just want to know your perspective on that. We always got coaching tips to go with. Thanks for taking my call, man. Anthony, you my man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, appreciate that, Tim. Appreciate the call. And I think it's a great point that they do. And I have mixed feelings about it at this point in the season, because I think on one hand, you know, you always want to be looking for improvement. And I think the best coaches, we joke about this being Tell the Truth Monday on our show, which is something that we obviously took from Quinn and what they do out in Ashburn, where they have their Tell the Truth Monday. And I love that concept. It's part of the reason we stole the moniker for this segment, is because when you win, you have to be able to make corrections. When you lose, it's a lot easier. As long as the losses don't just stack and stack and stack and you get tuned out. But as a staff, do you have the ability to focus guys week after week? And I do think that they have been able to do that in certain areas where certain things have gotten better. But, you know, the nature of the NFL is you solve one problem, something else pops up. I think the problem for me is, like, this late in the season, I wish I felt better about the trenches, because I don't know that those things are terribly, like, I don't know that those are coaching issues. I don't know how fixable they are. And I wish the coaches had found some better workarounds that I trusted a little bit more, but they also might just not exist. Like, they might just be understaffed on the offensive line. And I think one of the things I've gotten clarity on, ironically, in the last month, where it is worth mentioning, they've won 5 straight games. So they have figured it out, to the extent that they've scored more points than the other team 5 times in a row. And that's the whole point of the sport. But, you know, I think going into this offseason, upgrading left guard and probably, like, finding a better answer at right tackle. If you could guarantee that Wiley was healthy every week, I don't think you have to necessarily prioritize that. But this dude's been battling a ton of injuries over multiple years now, and he's not good enough as in the pass protection game to be like, oh, it's worth 12 games of Andrew Wiley. If I can get 17 games of Andrew Wiley and know that I can rely upon him in the run game and the screen game, and, like, just every week he's going to be there, and I can plan around him in a protection stuff, then fine. But I think if you can get, I mean, nevertheless, a Penei Sewell or Lane Johnson, who just is a game changer out there. But, like, you just need some bigger dudes who create more movement in the run game and are more reliable and stouter in the pass game. And I think if you can get that at left guard and right tackle, and perhaps, who knows, maybe even Wiley moving into left guard and competing with someone else for that spot could be a solution. And Allegretti becomes your swing guy, which would be an upgrade over Dieter. Then, you know, that's a potential tenable solution as well. But the reason I mention all this, though, is, yeah, they've won a bunch of games, but the stakes now become higher. Like, I think we can have two conversations at once. the playoffs and what it takes to win there versus the very best teams in the NFL is one discussion. What it's going to take to build this team over time into a legit Super Bowl contender where we should have a lot more grace and a lot more patience, I think that's a different conversation. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Let's go to Marcus. Marcus, thanks for calling. You are on the Hoffman Show.
Coffee, what's up, man? How you doing?
I'm good, dude. Did you make the trip down yesterday and bring your phone and signal to people in the press box in Dallas? Probably not, because the press box is a lot higher in Dallas. Or you just save that for Landover?
No, I didn't, man. I didn't. I wish I would have. I'm saving it for Landover. It's crazy that we were actually just about to get some flights down to Tampa, and then as I was checking out, said that no more seats are available. I was like, you know what? Maybe these are the football gods telling me that we're coming back to Landover, and then now I'll just get them when we get back to Landover.
Yeah, they're just going to host the Packers in the NFC Championship game. You worry about that in a couple weeks?
Yeah, that's where my focus is. So
I pick up what you're putting down, Marcus. What you got on this game / your Tell the Truth Monday?
So pretty much on the game and really over the season, we make a lot of comments about the defense in general, and it's always something. I feel like at this point, the defense is what it is. Very rarely are they really, really good or really great. And I just look at the scores. Five times we gave up 30 points. And then I think one of those games we won, but all the other ones we lost. But we scored more than 30 or more for 8 games. And that just tells me that, again, the defense is just going to be what it is. We have to find ways to click on offense. Like, if the offense is firing, I hate to just brush the defense off, but I feel like if the offense is firing, keeping the opponent's offense off the field, I think we'll have a chance against anyone. And it's crazy, but, I mean, with the defense, 17 games, I mean, it's no lie. Like, it just is what it is at this point. We can say such and such needs to do better. This person needs to make a better read. Like, it just is what it is. I feel like to really make a deep dive, just this year, not even thinking long term, but just as far as this year goes, our offense needs to be on point at all times, at least for the next 3 to 4 games, for us to, you know, make it to those 3 to 4 games. So that's my Tell the Truth.
Marcus, I think that's really good. Thanks for the call, bro. Appreciate it. And I mostly agree with that. I do think the one chance, first of all, just the part that I agree with. A couple weeks ago, we were doing a pick six on a Thursday, which is the day that the coordinators speak. We play the sound bites from Joe Witt and Cliff Kingsbury. And Joe said something about how we need to be more consistent defensively. And I was like, I'm going to be that guy. I'm going to nitpick here, and I'm going to say you don't need to be more consistent. You've been tremendously consistent. Just your consistency is fairly mediocre. You need to be better, and that means finishing some of these sacks as you get pressure in the backfield. You know, yesterday, one of the big plays, I can't remember if it was a big play or it was the one that I think it was the fourth down that Lance missed that should have been a big play for Dallas. Derek Forrest has him dead to rights in the backfield. Like, make the sack, man. Balls hit you in the hands. You got to pick those off. And so unless you're going to start doing that stuff consistently, that is a different level of consistency. That is being good consistently. You've been mediocre consistently. And you have to find ways to be better. I do think one of the ways you can be better, though, is you're actually getting a great player potentially back. Dan Quinn sounded fairly optimistic today with Marshawn Lattimore. If you're going to get Lattimore, that changes the entire dynamic of the defense. A true shutdown corner, if he plays at that level, changes everything. It changes the coverages you can call. It changes how you roll coverage to the other side. It obviously eliminates a potential weak point in the defense, if not two, because you go from two semi-exposed corners to one who's getting a ton of help and the other who's not exposed at all. Like, that's a big freaking deal. Not to mention it might give you a little bit more time to finish some of these sacks and all those kinds of things. So that would be the hope defensively. But largely, this is a defense that's given up between 20 and 30 points consistently all year, 20 and 35, let's say. And they play a lot better when they get support from their offense, because what defense doesn't? And that is going to be on the offense that has kind of been sputtering, and then they get started and roll for a little bit, and then it's back to sputtering here for a couple of weeks and just hasn't felt as consistent as it did earlier in the season. And frankly, you know, I don't know how much of this is correlation versus causation, he said, but since Noah Brown went out, like, that's been a big deal, because there's some of the, I know that he had drops and I know there's certain things he did, but he had drew a ton of PIs, which got a ton of chunk yardage, which extended drives and helped you get in scoring range. And he caught a lot of these third down, like comebacks, hitches, slants, big body routes that haven't quite been as consistent. And certainly when Diami was out a couple weeks ago, like, that was killer having both those dudes out. But it is something they've got to kind of figure out, because the other thing with Jaden is I can tell who we can all tell who he trusts and who he doesn't. And Noah was someone that he trusted. And some of this quick game stuff where you have to throw based off trust, it was another option where he could pick a matchup he liked and he would get the ball out versus holding on to it and then trying to scramble and instead running out of bounds for a sack of -4, which is a thing he did again on Sunday that I don't think I'll ever understand. 301-230-0980 is the phone number. Tell the Truth Monday. Let's go to Doug in Leesburg. Doug, thanks for calling. You're on the Hoffman Show.
Thanks for taking my call, Craig. Your contact keeps getting better and better, brother. Keep up
Appreciate
the good
that.
Work, man. Yeah, I thought Marcus came in and did well. I was always skeptical about Marcus at first when he first came based on the drama in Atlanta, but he's really been a nice mentor for Jaden, so I'm grateful for him. Like you were just talking about that defense, it is what it is. To me, you can't ask for them to rely on you from time to time, especially with these better teams. You're going to have to want to play more ahead or play more consistent in the game for the offense. And I wanted to go back to your point earlier in the show where you pointed out the inconsistencies of messaging between Dan and Jaden and how that injury went out. Mm-hmm. I thought this was the first time that we've heard on a Tell the Truth Monday where he didn't tell the truth. In my case, I think he lied to make it seem like Jaden was still wanting to be a competitor and could go out there. And him saying that he at any other week, it would be the same thing. In the same instance, I truly do not believe that. I just think he wanted to be like that, so it didn't seem like he was giving up for a meaningless game in week 18, even though they didn't treat it as a meaningless game. So I think you did bring up a good point there. It's not like you didn't have to let the shirt coat over. I thought it was a good point to bring up. But yeah, that's my touch right there. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it, Doug. Great call on all fronts, and not just because you agree with me. I thought you brought up some good points on Marcus, and you know, I think it's big for people to be like, hey, you know what? I had questions. I remember Anthony. You remember we did a full-on football therapy session with Linnell because Linnell was freaking out that they signed Marcus Mariota.
Yep.
I just want to make sure we have that tape available if Linnell starts freaking out about anything that doesn't matter this coming offseason.
I'm pretty sure we do, but okay. a lot of his, I guess, fear and trepidation of the signing had to do with the quarterback series and, you know, what went on in Atlanta.
I think we don't know the whole story from a Netflix series from 2 years ago. God forbid. Maybe Brian Johnson, who was with him in Philadelphia last year, maybe he's got a better insight.
Uh-huh.
You think so, doctor? Yeah. Let's Tell the Truth Monday on the Hoffman Show. Linnell's catching strays. What more could you want here on the Team 980? Always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Let's go to Mike. Mike, thanks for calling. You are on the Hoffman Show. What you got on a Tell the Truth Monday?
Thank you for taking my call. Well, I am scared. Nervous as far as Jaden goes. I'm not buying what you're saying that he's fine, that it's just a little soreness. I think it's more than that. And, you know, in this quarterback-driven league, you need to be available. And I think he should have sat down. I think Mariota could have won that game anyway. And now, you know, as far as the seeding, you know, people say that, you know, well, it's best to get Tampa. Well, I think, in my opinion, it's pick your poison, because now it's 0-0. You're starting fresh. And the Rams are hot, you know. We can't overlook that he still has enough in the tank. Quarterback winner, I take Sean McVay over Sirianni anytime. And for Baker, he's peaking at the right time, along with a future Hall of Famer receiver. And they're no joke. As far as Philly, if you think about it, yes, we would play them three times if we had lost. But then you had Jalen Hurts dealing with a concussion. I believe that he'd have to think twice running as much. And you got his backup with a broken rib. So they've been slowed down. And now the unknown is scaring me with Jaden. I think, I'm thinking 2012, well, God forbid.
Yeah, we're going to just absolutely nix any 2012 talk in the bud. Because Robert and Jaden could not be more different. And I do think, to the extent that we have the PTSD of what happened with Robert and coaches not being honest and whatever, they're going to go through the process here because they realize that the health of Jaden in the long term is the most important thing. And I actually think that's probably something that Dan had in his mind yesterday. Again, I don't think this all adds up. I think part of it that Dan doesn't want to say. Here's actually the more I think about it, and I fleshed out different parts of this, right, is that Dan doesn't like criticizing his own players, which is fine as long as he does it behind closed doors. But he'll say, we have to do this thing to the press, and then behind closed doors, he'll be like, John Allen, Daron Payne, Dorrance Armstrong, Dante Fowler, you have to do this. Here's an example. Here's the tape. That can't happen. He'll criticize guys or praise guys based off what actually happened on film. And I think part of the thing that he doesn't want to say out loud in the press because of who he is and how positive he likes to keep things in terms of morale and that the players trust him, that if they do something wrong, they're not going to get thrown under the bus in the media, is that he doesn't want to say that he didn't trust his own line yesterday. He didn't want to say, I don't know what Brandon Coleman's doing on this snap. I don't trust Michael Dieter to block Michael Parsons. And we're too close to the playoffs to let Jaden take a dumb shot. And we're just going to let Marcus go run around. Because I've watched the tape. Jaden's legs looked fine to me. But with Marcus out there, it was a little bit different. He was a little bit more decisive. There was some of the veteran-ness that you saw. And he was just more accurate. I mean, that's the biggest thing. It's Jaden actually, as the game went, settled in okay from a decision-making standpoint. He just couldn't complete the throws. And so I don't know how much this really has to do with an injury. I definitely feel like Jaden might not have felt 100%. And I think that there was a risk because the O-line wasn't playing great ball. And that's kind of where I land on it. Mike, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. Speaking of Mike's on the phone, Michael Phillips joins us next for a Michael Monday. It's a Tell the Truth Monday. It's a Victory Monday. It's a Michael Monday. And then we're going to go around the NFL at 5:30, talk about the rest of the games, although for some of the games, we're not really going to talk about the game. We'll talk about decisions that are made about head coaches, general managers, some of whom are going, some of whom are surprisingly staying. We'll get to it all at 5:30. Our pick six at 6:00. We're loaded up on a Monday on the Team 980.